The Senate has officially received that debt ceiling bill to raise the debt limit and allow the U.S. to borrow to pay its bills by Monday, and in a concession to Republicans, get some spending limits for the next 2 years. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer in the Senate has pledged to vote on it as soon as possible. Last night, it overwhelmingly passed the House, 314 to 117, a victory for dealmakers President Joe Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, though not without costs. The vote was in particular a major test for House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. NPR congressional correspondent Claudia Grisales is here. Hi, Claudia.
Hey there.
So 46 Democrats ended up opposing the bill, far more. 71 Republicans voted against it. I hope this is the last time I have to say turd sandwich, but that's how Republican Chip Roy characterized it. How did it get passed in the end?
Right. Democrats played a much bigger role here than we expected. More Democrats ended up supporting this bill than Republicans. We saw more than 160 Democrats vote for this legislation in the end, along with nearly 150 Republicans. And in terms of the strong bipartisan support here, this is what President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy were aiming for during these negotiations. They essentially have to run it up the middle, if you will. That is, they had to craft a deal that would draw support from moderate Republicans and Democrats, because this needs to pass a Republican-controlled House and a Democratic-controlled Senate. And McCarthy has such a tight margin in the House with only a handful of Republicans in his favor that he had to face this challenge with his hard right-wing members. These are members of the House Freedom Caucus, for example. It was clear he was going to need Democrats to make up for the loss of those more conservative members in his conference. And this bill made key majorities of each party in the House unhappy and happy. So it was clearly a compromise between both sides.
And Kevin McCarthy was asked why more Democrats than Republicans voted for the bill. And he said, well, there was even Republican opposition to an earlier bill the House passed that had much more of what Republicans wanted. Let's listen.
We have people who didn't vote for Limit Save Grow. Ken Buck didn't vote for that. Andy Biggs didn't vote for that. I don't think they've ever voted for a debt ceiling. Matt Gaetz has never voted for it. So we're never going to get everybody.
So, Claudia, it sounds like he's sort of waving off that conservative House Freedom Caucus that you mentioned, most of them enraged by the bill. Congressman Chip Roy has promised a reckoning. And we remember that only one member of Congress is needed to call a vote on McCarthy's speakership. So how do you see him emerging from this?
Well, he did sound pretty confident last night in terms of being able to emerge from this fight, because that is one of the worries he has to contend with. He made a lot of deals to get this speakership with 15 rounds of votes in that chamber. And so he knew predictions were out there that he would lose the House Freedom Caucus for this. But at the same time, what kind of revenge could they exact if they didn't get what they wanted out of this legislation? And that remains to be seen if they're going to take those steps. Yeah. You know, we saw Roy at times soften his language in terms of what steps he would take after threatening, looking at a reckoning, if you will. And so we'll need to see how this plays out over the next few days. McCarthy is lucky. He gets a few days of a breather right now, so they can't quite get together. This is when the deals and plans are made, is when they're in the House together. They do return next week, so that will be a key window to watch. Mm-hmm. But last night he was asked directly about the Freedom Caucus and if they would move to oust him, and he said, quote, it's up to them.
Well, you know, McCarthy also suggested yesterday he's going to seek more spending cuts and work requirements, for food aid, for instance. Now, you know, Democrats have been howling. The debt ceiling is not where that should happen. You fight for cuts during appropriations when spending is decided. But can Republicans now say, hey, even if we lose in those spending debates, will win, as we just did later on in debt ceiling fights? So how do you see this going forward?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Perhaps for House Republicans, this could be some sort of consolation prize for the ones that didn't get what they wanted out of this debt limit fight. Perhaps they could pass some messaging bills, bills that probably won't make it past the House into the Senate. But looking at appropriations, at new efforts there, looking at new work requirements. And there is an opportunity for some deal making, for example, with the appropriations. I think one interesting figure that we saw come out of all this was Representative Thomas Massey of Kentucky. He played a key role in the budget provisions that we saw in the debt limit deal. So we could see him play a role again in terms of the appropriations process, perhaps going forward, trying to see if they can put together a new Republican wish list. So yes, there's some opportunity for negotiation, but again, they're going to be facing a very difficult fight if they cannot get bipartisan buy-in on some sort of new plan when it's appropriations or work requirements.
Right. We should say 46 Democrats ended up opposing the bill. They included Congressman Gerald Nadler, Ro Khanna, Jim McGovern, who's long fought on hunger issues. He couldn't stomach, apparently, the new work requirements for people in their early 50s to get food stamps. But just in the few seconds, well, I'm just going to say it. It now goes to the Senate.
Yes.
And we will have you back to talk about that. NPR congressional correspondent Claudia Grisales, thank you so much.
Thank you much.